you, Derek, for leading us in prayer this morning. Yeah, if you have your Bible with you, you may want to turn to the book of Psalms. We're going to be reading this morning from Psalm 78. It's the first eight verses of Psalm 78. The words will be on the screen as well. So Psalm 78, beginning at verse 1. My people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth with a parable. I will utter hidden things, things from of old, things we have heard and known, things our ancestors have told us. We will not hide them from their descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power, and the wonders he has done. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which he commanded our ancestors to teach their children, so the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children. Then they would put their trust in God and not forget his deeds, but would keep his commands. They would not be like their ancestors, a stubborn and rebellious generation, whose hearts were not loyal to God, whose spirits were not faithful to him. Who likes to listen to a good story? We all like a good story, don't we? And stories help us to learn. Stories help us to remember. We can study history, can't we? And we can study all of the facts and the figures and the dates of when different kings and queens ruled and reigned and all of that. But it's only when we hear the stories of the people who lived during those times that things come alive for us. Stories help us to learn. One of the enormous privileges of serving in pastoral ministry is that I get to listen to lots of people's different stories. Stories filled with joy, stories filled with challenge, stories filled with struggles, stories filled with hope. I have had the privilege of sitting with hundreds of families preparing for the funeral of a loved one. The last count was 468 families that I've sat with over the years preparing for a funeral. And often I know nothing about the person who's died. And usually the way that our conversation will go is that we will talk about the facts and the figures of that person's life, the dates and where they lived and the job that they did. But then the stories start, the special memories, the holidays together, the funny things that happened during that person's life, meaningful words and moments that all make a person so special. And it's the stories that bring it all to life. Asaph knew that. And who was Asaph, you might say? Well, he was a poet, a songwriter, and he was the writer of these words that we've read from today, from Psalm 78. Asaph served in the court of King David, and he was, apparently he played the cymbals as well as being a songwriter. There we go. But songwriters are good at telling stories, aren't they? Because, you see, they can't use many words, but they have to get to the heart of what's going on. They cover the important things, and so often songs help us to understand the message. And Asaph wanted people to understand. Asaph wanted people to hear. Verse 1, we read, my people, hear my teaching. listen to the words of my mouth. Not just hear, but take it in. Listen. Some translations say, incline your ear. Stretch your ear, it says literally. Stretch your ear as big as they'll go, so that this goes in, is what he's saying. It's not like having a radio on in the background while you're peeling the potatoes. You know it's kind of there as a background noise, but not really taking it in. No, listen. Listen to these words, because this is God's word, the psalmist says. This is important. And the people really need to hear these words, because like many of the psalms, this comes from a time when God's people were drifting away from him. This comes out of a time of struggle and darkness within the life of God's people. People had lost their spiritual moorings. They were drifting. And as a result of that, there were implications in society and within the spiritual lives of people as well. One of the commentators puts it like this, and it says, Israel had all the wealth of the promises of God at their disposal, and yet they scavenged through the garbage of life, eking out a pitiful existence. They could have been living within the blessings of God, but they lived like paupers instead. And through God's word, the psalmist is saying, listen again to the story. Listen again to the story of God's love and God's faithfulness. He says, I will open my mouth with a parable. I will utter hidden things, things from of old, things we have heard and things known and things our ancestors have told us. Things we have heard, things we have known. And I would want to add to that, and things that we have forgotten, and things that we have completely ignored. The psalmist wants us to understand. And that's what the rest of this psalm is about. We didn't read the whole of the psalm. It's the second longest psalm in all of the psalms. But we didn't read it, but please do read it when you get home, perhaps. It's a marvellous summary of the story of God's people. That's what this psalm is about to this point. And it's a songwriter's story. It's the story of God's people's captivity in Egypt. How God's chosen people were forced to live as slaves. And yet God provided a way of freedom for them. A leader was raised up in Moses. And in verse 52 of the psalm, it says this, he brought his people out like a flock. He led them like sheep through the wilderness. He guided them safely, so they were unafraid. So they were unafraid, but the sea engulfed their enemies. Here the psalmist is looking back on that incredible event in the history of God's people where they were led from captivity to freedom, from persecution to a new start and a new opportunity. And the psalm continues to share about how the people journeyed through the wilderness. 40 years they wandered in the wilderness. But even in that place of deserts and confusion, God provided for them. God provided everything that they need and was there always to guide them and direct them. But time and time again, what did the people do? They turned their backs on God. They rejected God's way. They thought they knew better. They grumbled and they groaned and they decided to follow their own leading and their own way. And yet God never gave up on them. God kept on calling them back to himself. God was faithful to them despite their lack of faith towards them. Because God is loving, God is faithful, and that never changes. This was the story. This was the real life experience of these people, and yet time and time again, they kept on forgetting it. I wonder if sometimes we can forget the wonder of all that God has done for us. Because, of course, we need to remember, don't we, that the story that's accounted to us in Psalm 78 didn't end. God, in his love and his faithfulness, sent another to lead his people to freedom and to peace. One greater than Moses, one greater than David, his own son, Jesus Christ. Next Sunday on Palm Sunday, and then as we go into Easter week, we'll be remembering again, won't we, God's faithful provision to us in Jesus. That way that is open to us through Jesus. We'll be remembering, celebrating that. But how often do we forget the wonders of what God has done for us? So in the psalm, what are God's people encouraged to do with their story? This story of God's guidance and God's provision, this story of God's mercy and faithfulness, what are they called to do with it? Are they called to write it down in a big book and lock it away in some library somewhere where it will gather dust on the shelf? No. They're called to tell their story, to share their story. Verse 4, it said, "We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power, and the wonders he has done." This is not something to be locked away, not something to be hidden. This is something to share. To share, why? Verse 6, so that the next generation will know, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children. You know, I find that incredible, those words there, that when Asaph wrote this psalm around about 3,000 years ago, when he wrote these words, he was thinking about you and me. Children yet to be born. I don't think any of us were around 3,000 years ago. I think none of us were here then. We were yet to be born. And yet even then, the psalmist knew that this story of God's love and God's faithfulness was for you and for me. This is a story not for one moment in history, but for the whole of history and for all people in all places. This is a story for us, the story of God's love and faithfulness. Despite our failings, despite our disobedience, this is the amazing story of God's grace brought to completion in Christ, our story. And we're urged to do something with the story. To share it with the next generation, that they would put their trust in God and not forget his deeds, but keep his commands. A story not to keep to ourselves, but a story to share with others. As Derek's already mentioned, in the next 2 weeks of the prayer booklet that we're following through together, these booklets here, there's still some available if you haven't got one in the foyer. But five things to pray for your church. The next couple of weeks, we're praying for children and young people. Children and young people connected with this church here, with our church family and those outside of our church family. And these children that we have as part of our church family are so valuable, so special, so precious, and we should keep on praying for them. Praying that they will know God's love. Praying that they will know the life that God has for each one of them. You know, sometimes people fall into the trap, don't they, of saying that the children of the church of tomorrow, rubbish, absolute rubbish. They are the church of today. And we learn as much from them as they learn from us. No, we learn more from them than they learn from us. God has given us children to care and to nurture for and to pray for. Pray for those who commit themselves to working with our children and young people. There's a need there. There's a need in the life of this church for people to step forward to serve in that way. And that's something that you'd like to be involved with, then speak to me or another member of the leadership team. But pray for those who do commit themselves to that. Often for many of them at the end of an already busy week, something that they take on our behalf. So we should pray for them, encourage them, support them as we can. But of course, the responsibility of teaching and encouraging and working alongside our children and young people, it is not something that we can just hand over to someone else. And someone once said to me, the great thing about having grandchildren is that you can hand them back. But in the life of the church, that's not an option. The call is for us all to be involved in praying for and encouraging, getting to know the children who are part of our church, smiling at them, making space for them, getting to know them and encouraging them, getting to know what they're facing at school and the challenges that they're going through. Delighting when they make a noise in our services and all the Lego blocks fall over at the back of the church. Rejoicing in that. That's a wonderful thing to have those children amongst us and part of us to share with them. Because it is the call to each one of us, just as the psalmist wrote, to share our story with them, our incredible, amazing story with them. And not just those children who are part of our church family here. Derek prayed about Scripture Union. Interestingly, I had a meeting with the local Scripture Union, who covers kind of most of Yorkshire, really. That's about as local as it is. Recently, met up with him. And many of you will know Scripture Union. Founded in 1867, 152 years ago. Around about the same time this church was founded. 152 years of serving by using the Bible to inspire children and young people and adults to know God. Derek mentioned through camps and through clubs and resources. In 152 years, things have changed a lot. When Scripture Union started their work, most children in the UK in some way had a connection with the church. Many went to Sunday school. Most were part of clubs or groups, or their parents were, or their grandparents were. That link has now gone. As Derek said, 95% of children, 95 out of every 100 children, do not have a connection with the church. This project, the 95, was launched by Scripture Union last year to address that. They are now focused on using most of their resources and most of their time to reach out to children who have no connection with churches. That's what they're seeking to do. We can support them. We can pray for them. We can get involved. The world has changed. Children and young people are growing up in a very different world to one that you and I grew up in. Facebook, you know, Facebook's old hat now, if you're a child or a young person. Children don't use that. That's for middle-aged people and older people, that is. They don't use it. It's Instagram. And that's probably out of date by the time that Snapchat. Ali keeps up with these things, so. It's a very different world. Well, we would go round to our mates, maybe phone our mates to see if they wanted to go out. Everyone now is instantly in touch with each other. And all of those ways of communicating are based on image. It's about pictures. Everyone's saying, what do you look like? What are you looking like today? The pressure is on them constantly. You've got to look right. You've got to fit in with all these things. If not, just like that, you can go out of favour. You know, when you and I, when we were at school, if we had a problem with bullying at school, it usually stopped at the school gates when we went home. That was the reality. We went home, and yes, it might be a problem tomorrow when we go in, but well, we could go home and to our families and friends and know that we were away from the bully. It doesn't happen now. You're bullied at school, and you go home, and you go online, and you're bullied there because they follow you. That's the world that our young people grow up in and the things that they face. And maybe some of us, we don't get that, the things that they're going through. But the call for us is to be alongside them, to help them and to support them, to be there for them. The world has changed, but you know, our story has not changed. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Let's keep on sharing the story of Jesus. A story of love and of forgiveness and of peace and of hope. A story that is for you and for me and our children within our church family and the children outside our church family and our children's children. A story that is for all people, in all places, through all time. I want to close with a story that I hope will encourage you, a story that I hope will encourage those of you who are involved in children and young people's work. You know, sometimes you might think, why bother? What difference does it make? You might have yourself tried to share the story of Jesus with children in your family. Children, whether they be 5 years old or whether they be 55 years old. And no one seems to listen. No one seems to respond. Let's watch this very short story that reminds us of the importance of being faithful to that call to share the story that we have.
I was teaching a Sunday school class. The lesson was about how kids could trust Jesus with their cares and burdens. In the activity, they wrote down their burdens on sheets of paper, folded them into planes, and flew them to Jesus. In my class were three rowdy boys. I don't know what they wrote on their papers, if anything. The class was fun. But I had no idea if the point was getting across. Until 2 years later, when the mother of one of those boys died. Simple paper airplane would help this young boy remember that he could trust Jesus with anything, with everything. Never doubt that what you're doing matters.
The story that we have to share is the most important story. A story of hope, a story of life. Let's be those who commit to tell of the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, of his power and the wonders he has done. Let's pray together. Loving God, thank you that we have a story to tell. Our lives are not pointless or meaningless or just a chance of creation, of things, atoms coming together. But we have a story of love. A story that you, Lord God, have invited us to share in. To know and to experience your love day by day. Even when we get it wrong and even when we make a mess of it, you never give up on us. Just as we know from the story of your people, you never gave up on them. And thank you that you gave Jesus, your Son, for us. You came into our broken, hurting world and took our pain, our sin upon yourself, that we might be forgiven. And Lord, now your call to us is, as we respond and hear that message, is then to go out and share it with others. Lord, we pray for those young people in our care. Help us to share with them. Help us to be there for them, to support them in this confusing, mixed up world that they're growing up in. Lord, may we be, in your name, some kind of rock that is there for them. Lord, and for the world around us as well, where, Lord, the things of you, they seem to have been forgotten in so many ways. But your truth is still the truth. Lord Jesus, you are the same yesterday and today and forever. Help us as we seek to reach out to others with that same love, that unchanging love, that same message of hope and life and peace. And as we do all that, Lord, we just ask that we might do it in your name and in your strength. We can't do everything, Lord, but we can do the one thing that you want us to do. May we be ready to respond, to declare the wonders of who you are and what you have done. This we ask in the name of Jesus, our Saviour. Amen.